بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وخاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا.
We are in the discussion of one of the greatest companions and one of the greatest humans from the students of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. Ali radiyallahu anhu is no stranger to greatness and honor. He is the son of Abu Talib, who is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the grandson of Abdul Muttalib, who is the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a very close relationship through family, through lineage. And we spoke a little bit about Ali radiallahu anhu and the difference of opinions of his status last class, last session. But it is important to recognize that his father was a great contributor to Islam, though he did not accept Islam. He supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He supported his son and all the support that he gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is the one that encouraged his other son, Ja'far radiallahu anhu, to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says in the narration, Ali radiallahu anhu yusalli khufiyatan wara under Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would pray, he would hide and pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Talib saw that his son was praying. He said, "What are you doing?" He says, right when he finished his salah, his father asked him, "What did you do?" He says, "Amantu billahi wa bi rasuli. I believe in Allah and His Prophet, and I believe in everything the Prophet is inviting towards." And then when he saw him pray the next time on the right side of the Prophet, he told Ja'far, "Go stand on the left of the Prophet while he was praying." So Abu Talib is a very, very noble person from the Arabs. And this is the son of Abu Talib, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu, he joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was 6 years old. Basically, 4 years before prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his father, Abu Talib, can I not adopt, but take ownership and custody of your son Ali radiallahu anhu. He liked Ali radiallahu anhu before Islam, before they even the prophethood. Prophet doesn't receive prophethood. So he was in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu has few siblings. Before we go into the siblings of Ali, before we go deep into Ali radiallahu anhu, he has few siblings and they all have a very important element in Ali radiallahu anhu's story. We know who his father is, we know who his grandmother is. Ali radiallahu's grandmother is, grandfather is Abdul Muttalib. Ali radiallahu anhu's mother is Fatima. Her name is Fatima bint Asad. She became Muslim. So Ali's mother is Fatima and father is Abu Talib. So this is very important to know. And Fatima bint Asad is amongst those women who did accept Islam. She accepted Islam. Ali's father did not accept Islam. Ali's mother accepted Islam. And then Ali radiallahu anhu has his brothers. Of course, his eldest brother is Talib. So his father was called Abu Talib. And the next brother to Ali after Talib is Aqil. When we went to Medina, we stopped by his grave, Aqil. The third brother to Ali is Ja'far radiallahu anhu, who is buried in Jordan. He was martyred in the Battle of Mu'tah, Ja'far. Ja'far is the same Ja'far that went to Ethiopia, Abyssinia, to call when the Muslims migrated. Ja'far was one of the leads in that delegation, and Najashi accepted Islam by the invitation of Ja'far. So Ja'far is a very special person. And of course, the fourth one was Ali radiallahu anhu. It says that between each son, there were 10 years gap. So Ja'far was 10 years older than Ali, Aqil was 10 years older than Ja'far, and Talib was 10 years older than Aqil. So there was this massive age gap between the brothers. So the sisters are Ummihani and Jumana. Sisters are Ummihani and Jumana. Talib, the eldest son of Abu Talib, did not accept Islam. Actually, he was a captive in the battle of Badr. He fought against Ali radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Talib bin Abi Talib was a captive, so Ali's eldest brother never accepted Islam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked him a lot. They had a relationship from before. Aqil accepted Islam. His Islam was delayed. He accepted Islam after the conquest of Makkah. So Aqil accepted Islam. Ja'far accepted Islam. Of course, he was one of the first people to accept Islam. Remember when Abu Talib saw his son Ali praying and he told Ja'far, why didn't you join your cousin? So that explains it. And of course, Ummihani, she is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also the sister of Ali. She accepted Islam, and there's an interesting narration where Abu Sufyan and few people, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Mecca, they went into the house of Ali's sister for safety. They went to her house, Ummihani's house, and Ummihani came out from her house, and she says, "There are people in my house that no one can touch. Anyone that's in my house should be given amnesty and protection." So the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ajarna man ajarti," right? We have given complete protection to anyone that goes into your house, right? You can take an enemy, put him in your house, we'll protect them because you protected them. So this was a famous story. Of course, Jumana was also considered to be Muslim, and Ali radiallahu anhu has his famous children that we all know of. They were all from the famous children that we know are from his wife Fatima radiallahu anha. So Ali's mother is Fatima, Ali's wife is Fatima. And his famous children are Hassan and Hussein. And there's more details to this. And then his daughters are Zainab, they call him Zainab al-Kubra, wa Ummi Kulthum al-Kubra. It's interesting because Fatima radiallahu anha named her daughters after her sisters who were martyred, who were killed, or who died. Right, Zainab radiallahu anha was injured by Habbar bin Aswad. So, and she loved her sisters. Of course, that name was very special to Fatima. So she named her daughter Zainab, and she named her other daughter, another sister's name, Ummi Kulthum. You know, we know Fatima radiallahu anha passed away 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Ali radiallahu anhu was a very handsome-looking man. He wasn't too tall, he wasn't too short, he had very beautiful eyes, حسن الوجه. He had a very good look. Okay, it says that in his sifat, it says, كَأَنَّهُ الْقَمْرُ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. He was like a glowing moon. So physical, and his physical features were also very attractive. There are so many things that you can talk about Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali's contributions to Islam are, as if you look at the Sahaba, he's one of the most gifted Sahabi. Gifted in his contribution to Islam, gifted to his contribution of knowledge. So he isn't someone that is going to be excused and overlooked. Though we know that Ali radiallahu anhu accepted Islam when he was 10 years old. He accepted Islam when he was 10 years old. He's the fourth Khalifa, and he accepted Islam. Everyone else was a non-Muslim who had participated in idol worshipping, from Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. But Ali radiallahu anhu, from the great companions, never did shirk. And he was just a child when he came into the custody of Khadija in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ali radiallahu anhu is considered to be one of those innocent young boys who grew up and he was nurtured in a house of revelation. Like, he was 10 years old and Jibreel was coming to the house of the Prophet ﷺ. He was 10 years old and he was, of course, he was still trained in a very pious home. Abu Talib was a very noble person. And his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, was also a very noble person. We should not forget, Abdul Muttalib is that person, his grandfather, the Prophet's grandfather also, was a person when there was drought in Mecca, they would go to Abdul Muttalib and he would go to the top of the mountains of Mecca and raise his hand and rain would fall. That's how noble he was. When Abraha came to destroy the Kaaba, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ, people didn't know what to do. They all came to Abdul Muttalib, Ali's grandfather, the Prophet's grandfather. They said, please make do something. And then Abdul Muttalib heard that Abraha, his army had looted or taken his cattle and his camels. So he went to Abraha. Abraha was shocked. There's a statement of Abraha Ibn Sirr ibn Hisham that he said, when I saw Abdul Muttalib, I was amazed by his beauty. He was so handsome. And I was brought into awe just by seeing Abdul Muttalib. And then he walked in, he disappointed me. Abdul Muttalib is the Prophet's grandfather. So we're just speaking of what type of family this is. And he asked Abraha, give me back my animals. Abraha is like, I'm disappointed. I'm here to destroy the Kaaba and you are one of the leaders of Mecca and you have no concern of the Kaaba. Like, I'm very disappointed. I thought you would come and negotiate and kind of challenge my venture, my opinion and my decision of destroying the house of Allah, and you have no interest in that discussion. So Abdul Muttalib says, Ana Rabbul Ibal. I am the owner of these camels. وَلِكَعْبَ رَبًّا يُحْمِيهِ. And the Kaaba has a Lord that will protect it. Just give me my animals back. And that's exactly what happened. He literally, after he went to Abraha, he went and he grabbed the curtains of the Kaaba, the door of the Kaaba. And he said, oh Allah, everyone has left. Mecca is evacuated because Abraha is coming with elephants to literally invade Mecca and destroy the Kaaba. And he cried and then he moved everyone out from the city to the outskirts. And then the birds just pulted them. So this all happened around a very noble family. Back to Ali radiallahu anhu.
That was 40 years before.
When did Abraha happen? No, not 40 days. It says the Sirah says the story of Fil. It was 50 days before the Prophet's birth. 50 days. 50 days? 50 days before the Prophet's birth. That story of Abraha happened 50 days before the Prophet's birth. So let's keep on going. There are so many lessons that we can learn from Ali radiallahu anhu, a very knowledgeable person. But I want to take you to Ali. Like, what are his contributions to Islam? The first thing we recognize that he was one of the first people to accept Islam. The first person to accept Islam, these are very controversial discussions. People say, is Abu Bakr, who do you think it is? They're debated. Khadija makes sense. Waraqah. One of the most common opinions that are not public is Waraqah bin Nawfal.
I thought
he accepted Islam. He believed in the Prophet ﷺ. So he didn't live to practice the Prophet's religion. He passed away a few days after he told the Prophet ﷺ, you are a messenger, and that angel that came to you was the same angel that came to Musa. So he testified to this Prophet Muhammad ﷺ being a prophet. The Adhab al-Fatra, you know, like they lived in the time of Muwahideen. They were true believers in the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never did shirk. So this is Waraqah would be considered the first person. But if you consider people who actually lived Islam and lived through the struggle of Islam, the first one would be Khadija. I'm in the opinion of Khadija being the first Muslim, then Khadija taking Prophet Muhammad to Waraqah, so the first Muslim was a female. Then it would be Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha is the Prophet ﷺ's adopted son at that time. Correct? And number three would be Ali. And So Ali will be number three. And all these three are family members. We have Khadija, the wife, Zayd ibn Haritha, the adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ at that time, Ali, the Prophet's cousin, who was brought into his house 4 years earlier. So, and then Abu Bakr will be four, Waraqa, five, around that will be the numbers, or give and take. But Khadija radiallahu anhu was one of the first Muslims, and Ali radiallahu anhu was number three. And he served the Prophet ﷺ from that age. He supported the Prophet ﷺ, prayed next to him. And his knowledge of the Qur'an was remarkable. He used to say to the people, Saluni, Saluni, and al-Qur'an. Ask me any ayah about the Qur'an. I know when it was revealed, whether it was revealed during the day, during the night, I can give you any explanation. Ask me anything of the Qur'an. And Ali radiallahu anhu had accurate knowledge of that verse. That was the knowledge. And why not? Because he was raised in a house around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ali radiallahu anhu wasn't an average person that people consider like, no, he was a very knowledgeable person. Ali radiallahu anhu had a very special love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like all the companions did. Somebody asked Ali radiallahu anhu, how much do you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Like, how much did you guys love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And Ali radiallahu anhu said that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than our parents, more than our children, more than min ma'il barid fi dhama. We loved him more than cold water and extreme thirst. We love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything. We would do anything for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ali radiallahu anhu doesn't narrate too many narrations. Hadith-wise, he narrates around 500. People would say, wow, he's a very knowledgeable person, he only narrates 500 narrations. Ali radiallahu anhu would be very careful when he would narrate a narration. He wouldn't just express a narration. And if anyone narrated a narration to him, he would make them do wallah. Like, say wallah, you heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or you heard it from that sahabi that claims he heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ali radiallahu anhu was very particular of making sure that he didn't fabricate anything from the Prophet, you know, or link anything to the Prophet ﷺ that he wasn't sure about. So this is why we have not many narrations from Ali radiallahu anhu. In the 500s are the narrations from Ali radiallahu anhu. Though he is considered to be with the Prophet ﷺ all the time. There's an interesting story of Ali radiallahu anhu that once he was sick, and it says, مَرِضَ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرَّةٍ فَأَتَاهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet ﷺ came to him, and he was making this dua. Allahumma in kana ajli qad hadara fa arihni. Oh Allah, if I have to die in this sickness, please just take my life now. Arihni, like, take my life because I'm going through so much pain. Wa in kana mutaakhiran farfa'ni. Like, and if death is not written for me, then remove this. Wa in kana albala fa sabbirni. And if it's hardship, give me patience. Fa qala Rasulullah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma qulta, what are you saying? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma shfihi, Allahumma afihi. Allah remove his sickness and give him cure. And he got up and he was completely cured. The Prophet ﷺ loved Ali radiallahu anhu, and he was very close to Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu says himself, he narrates very interesting narrations from the Prophet ﷺ. One of the narrations that he narrates are early times of Makkah from the 500. One of those are that Ali radiallahu anhu says, كُنْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَكَّةَ فَخَرَجْنَا فِي بَعْضِ نَوَاحِيَا. I was with the Prophet ﷺ in Makkah. We would walk in the valleys. And he said, فَمَا اسْتَقْبَلَهُ جَبَلٌ وَلَا شَجَرٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَقُولُ أَسْسَلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Every time we walked by a tree or a mountain or a boulder that was resting on a mountain, I and the Prophet would hear the tree say, أَسْسَلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So this is like a very special miracle. Not only the Prophet would hear this, Ali radiallahu anhu would hear this. So this was Ali radiallahu anhu's, you know, special relationship to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in early Islam. And Ali radiallahu anhu was very particular in following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would never shy away from following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said himself, he said, I have never seen someone more beautiful than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, لَمْ أَرَى مِثْلَهُ قَبْلْ وَلَا بَعْدْ. Whenever someone would ask him, how beautiful was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, I've never seen anyone as beautiful as him before, and I will never see anyone after him. The Prophet was the closest to Ali radiallahu anhu. As we move into the life of Ali radiallahu anhu and his contribution, he was very instrumental in every single aspect of Islamic history. Whether it comes in the early Islam before Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was leaving Makkah, so revelation would come, Ali would memorize it, he was in the house. But finally, when he was leaving Makkah, the Prophet ﷺ had to assign someone to stay in his house and take the place where the Prophet was resting, so the Prophet ﷺ can secretly disguise himself, escape out of the house, and migrate to Medina. He looked around and he found no one better than Ali. And he said, Ali, you're going to stay on my bed, cover yourself. The non-Muslims are going to come after you, and when they open the when they unveil you, they're going to see you. And Ali radiallahu anhu, what do you expect when someone is attempting to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when they get close to the bed that he's resting on, they move the veil, remove the sheet, and Ali is found. What are they going to do? They're going to feel disgraced. They're going to feel insulted. And in that emotions, they'll probably kill Ali. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ali, don't worry, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will meet me in Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed Ali his safety. Ali radiallahu anhu was made to stay back, and everyone migrated. Ali stayed back, and he gave all the trust that the Prophet ﷺ had from the people of Makkah, returned all that amana. The Prophet ﷺ was known to be as-Sadiq al-Amin. People would, you know, he was. I would consider the Prophet like the safe or a bank. People would travel. Who would want to leave their wealth and their gold and their valuable in their homes? They would get robbed. So they would leave it with the Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah. Even the non-Muslims who did not believe in the Prophet ﷺ left their valuables with the Prophet ﷺ, knowing that this man would never betray them. ﷺ. So to return those valuables, the Prophet ﷺ assigned Ali radiallahu anhu. So this the one of the first battles that took place after the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, there are a few interesting points that happened. One of the first points that happened when the Prophet ﷺ migrates to Medina is that he makes brotherhood between the companions. The muhajir, an immigrant, is made a partner with the ansar, with the host of Medina. This was very common. The Prophet ﷺ made Abu Bakr a friend, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Sa'd bin Rabi'a, different companions. So it gave them economical support, social support. It was big, instrumental for the growth of Medina. Like imagine you have thousands of immigrants coming from Mecca who have no finance, no support, and Medina now is going to host them, not only give them safety, but also give them business and pay for their expense. Right? Actually, I don't want to go on a tangent, but the Prophet ﷺ, when he came to Medina, he called the Ansar and he said to the Ansar that, إِنَّ أَخْوَانَكُمْ جَاءُوا مِن مَكَّةِ, your brothers have migrated from Mecca. They don't know anything. So please include them in your business. So the Ansar said, أَنَّ أَمْوَالَنَا بَيْنَنَا قَطَاعٍ, we'll give half of our wealth to the immigrants that just migrated. And the Prophet ﷺ said, well, that's kind of you, but these people are businessmen and women, and you guys are shepherds. They لا يَعْرِفُ الْعَمَلِ, they don't know how to do any agriculture activity. They have no skills in the farm, in grazing. So why don't you do all the work? Why don't you do all the work, all the labor, and still include them in 50% of the share? So the Sahaba said, "Sam'an wa ta'a." We will do all the work and we'll give 50% of our money and our investments return to the Muhajirin. And the Prophet ﷺ was very impressed. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ constantly prayed for the Ansar. So when the Prophet ﷺ made brotherhood and sisterhood and a relationship between the Muhajir and Ansar, he didn't make any brother with Ali radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet ﷺ saw Ali crying. He said, why are you crying? He was very hurt, like he felt like he was ignored. And he's not a child that's crying. He's feeling that I've been left out. The Prophet ﷺ has given this type of bond between the companions and I've been ignored. So the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنْتَ أَخِي Ali. He's like, oh Ali, he said, يَا رَسُولَ أَخَيْتَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلَمْ تُوَأْخِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, you made brothers between everybody, you never gave me a companion. So oh Ali, you are my brother. You are my brother. And this is very common where the Prophet ﷺ treats Ali in a very special way. Before I think we go into Badr, because Badr is a very lengthy, then Uhud, then Khandaq, and Khaybar, is all Ali. These battles are Ali. I'd like to talk about his marriage. So, Ali radiallahu an was, of course, a young man. He was in his early 20s at this time. and he was single. So there was a woman who worked in Ali radiallahu anhu's house. She would say to her, Ali, why don't you go, you know, propose to the Prophet for his daughter? Go. And Ali was like, I can't do that. And Abu Bakr, Umar had also proposed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, Sahaba had proposed. So this lady comes to Ali radiallahu anhu, who works in Ali's house. He says that, do you know that people are, proposals are coming for Fatima? Do you know? She says, أَحَلِمْتَ أَنَّ فَاطِمَا قَدْ خُتِبَتْ إِلَى رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ. He said, do you know that Fatima has been, there have been proposals coming? قَالَ لَا, I don't know nothing. قَدْ خُتِبَتْ. Then she said, فَقَدْ خُتِبَتْ. She's been, so many people are coming to her house. And then she says, فَمَا يَمْنَعُكَ أَن تَأْتِيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَيُزَوِّجُكَ. Why don't you go to the Prophet's house and ask for the hand of Fatima, bint رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Ali says, فَقُلْتُ وَعِنْدِي شَيْءٌ أَتُزَوِّجُ بِهِ. Like, what? I have nothing. I'm so poor. You think the Prophet is going to marry his daughter to a poor person like me? And he said, no, just go. He said, then he got the courage and he finally went to the Prophet's house. He says, فَلَمَّا أَنْ قَعَدْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ. Finally, when I sat in front of the Prophet, I was very nervous. I was very nervous. He says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ أَنْ أَتَكَلَّمْ جَلَالَةً وَهَيْبَةً. So I swear to Allah, God, I could not say a word out of awe in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine just being in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even in that, on a normal occasion, you could not speak in front of the Prophet. He was so powerful. He was so respected. There was so much haybah. They loved the Prophet. But now imagine going to his house to ask for his daughter. And then the experience, imagine you're rejected. Right? That's even, that's also very challenging. And all you guys are in college, you know? In this you learn that it is the guy going to the girl's house. You know, but there is no such thing as an Islam, the culture where Islam doesn't have a rule like you, the male has to go to the female's house. Sometimes we find that in Maryam and Shu'aib al-Islam's story, where Prophet Shu'aib is the one that proposes his daughters to Musa. You know, he says, أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى ابْنَتَيَّ. Right? It's Shu'aib saying to Musa, I want to marry one of my daughters to you. He found a great man. Right? It's not an aib, it's not an evil thing that the women's side finds a nice person and says, hey, I got a plan for you. So here we have the Quran showing that Musa didn't come for the proposal, but Shu'aib al-Islam proposed his daughter's hand into Musa's life. So here we have a very interesting narration. So he sits down, the Prophet says, Alaka haja? Like, you got something? You want something? What brings you here? He says, Fasakattu. I couldn't say a word. Qala, faqala Rasulullah, la'allaka ji'ta takhtubu Fatima. He said, it looks like you've come to ask for the hand of my daughter Fatima. And he says, na'am. He says, wahal indaka min shay'in tastahilluha? Do you have anything for dowry? Do you have anything for dowry? And in our Islam, it is wajib upon the man to give a dowry as a gift to the wife. He says, La wallahi ya Rasul, I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing. He says, and the Prophet says, Ma fa'alta dir'an, what did you do with that armor that I gave you? That I gave you one day. And he says, oh, I have it, but it's not worth more than 400 dirhams. It's maybe over $1,000 today's time. So the Prophet said, no, go get it. And he said, go get it. And he brings that armor, and it says that he either sold it and he brought the money, but the value of that armor was given to Fatima radiallahu anha. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave Fatima something. So usually the male gives a dowry and the woman gives jahaz. Jahaz, that meaning, which is a gift from the wife side to the male side. A lot of people don't practice that. Like, there's a custom where the man gives a dowry, but as a sunnah, small token of appreciation to the husband's side also. So the Prophet ﷺ gave Fatima a pillow, a bedding, you know, few basic things, a pot, and it was the basic things they had at home. It wasn't a lavish wedding. And he married Fatima radiallahu anha. And the marriage is also very interesting. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, he told to Ali radiallahu anhu, do not engage in any relationship with my daughter. Don't meet her until you meet me. Don't move into her house, or don't move her into your house until you meet me. And when you plan to move into your house, this is the urs, like, you know, like when the wedding night, come over. He said, لَا تُحَدِّثْ شَيْئًا حَتَّى تَلْقَانِ. Meet me. فَدَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَاءٍ. The Prophet he asked for water. فَتَوَضَّأَ. He made wudu. And then he took that water of wudu and he sprinkled it over Ali and Fatima. And he said, اللهم بارك فيهما وبارك عليهما وبارك في شبلهما. Oh Allah, you bless them, you bless upon them, and you bless their children that are going to come from them. And what a blessing they had. You know, so the Prophet ﷺ, there are multiple narrations in their marriage where the Prophet is interfering in a nice way, in a very kind way. I don't have time for all the narrations, but there's one part of the marriage where Ali radiallahu anhu comes home and he's not happy. They get into an argument and Ali radiallahu anhu gets up and he walks out from the house. The Prophet ﷺ comes to his daughter's house. He's waiting at Ali. He says, they got angry and he walked out. And that's really powerful too. Like, you know, of course you should discuss it, but sometimes when you know you're going to say something wrong, it's better to just walk away. Especially in your spouse situation. Parents, I would be a little careful. Like, I don't want to walk away from my parents because the next thing that's coming at you is a shahata. You know, like, I walked away, I don't know where the shoe came from. But in your spouse situation, you could be very careful. In your elders and friends, if you're in a situation and it's getting heated, it's better just to stay quiet and walk away. I've learned this from the stories of the Prophet ﷺ. So he says, oh, Ali got into an argument with me, he just walked out. Oh, where'd he go? He walks out, he looks away, he walks in the masjid, he finds Ali laying on the ground in the masjid, laying down. And he goes to him, قُمْ يَا ابْنَ التُّرَابِ يَا أَبَ التُّرَابِ يَا أَبَ التُّرَابِ قُمْ يَا أَبَ التُّرَابِ أَبَ التُّرَابِ. He saw Ali radiallahu anhu laying down and there was dirt all over his body because the ground was dirt. And he associated dirt upon him. He said, oh, you father of dirt. Meaning, it was a positive, and not a negative sense. Like, and Ali radiallahu anhu says, the best name the Prophet ever gave me was Abu Turab. Right? Because he's called Abu al-Hasan, right? And he was called Ali. But he said, no, the best name. And though this name was given to him in a moment, the Prophet ﷺ saw they were angry. He said, no, go and go home and, you know, make it, go, you know, reconcile with your spouse. Not a big deal. And multiple times the Prophet ﷺ would come in the relationship. And one day, Ali radiallahu anhu heard the Prophet ﷺ got some animals. In their custom, animals was like wealth. Gold, goats and sheep and cattle. Like, so he says, oh, Fatima, do me a favor. We are broke at home. We have nothing. Can you go to your father and ask him for some like animals, some cattle? We can milk them, we can eat their meat. Maybe some servants that can help us. Dude, can just go. So Fatima radiallahu anha says, okay. And she goes. And she knocks on the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what brings you here? Like, what brings you here? So Fatima radiallahu anha says, Ya Rasulullah, Al-Malaika, she's so smart, right? She didn't say, I'm hungry. She said, Al-Malaika, ta'amuhum tasbih wa tahmid, fama ta'amuna. It's like, angels, they nourish off of praising Allah. But we have no food. Hook us up. The Prophet ﷺ says, there's two times this happened. In one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said to Fatima, I can give you khamsata a'nuz, I can give you five goats right now. But I can also teach you five statements. عَلَّمَنِيهَا جِبْرِيلَ al-an. That I was, right now, a Jibreel came and narrated this narration to me. And he taught me this. So what do you want? You want the five verses of dua? Or do you want these five animals that will suffice your physical and worldly need? Or you want this five couplet? That if you have this, and you use this, Allah will suffice all your needs. So Fatima was a daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, خَمْسُ كَلِمَاتِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, say this. Whenever you have something that you need, right? Some of you already know this. It says, Ya awwal al awwalin, wa ya akhir al akhirin, wa ya dhal quwwat al matin, wa ya rahim al masakin, ya arham al rahimin. I'll say it again. Ya awwal al awwalin, wa ya akhir al akhirin, wa ya dhal quwwat al matin, wa ya rahim al masakin, ya arham al rahimin. He says, oh, Fatima, you say this, and all your needs Allah will suffice for you. The Prophet ﷺ trained his daughter to depend on Allah at every moment. Meaning, if he gave those five pieces of dunya, like animals, that need for the moment has been sufficed. But you're always going to need something in life. You're always going to, and I'm not always going to be there for you, but I'm giving you a prayer that can tap into the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Fatima comes home, Prophet Ali radiallahu anhu, expecting some like goods and wealth, comes home empty-handed. She says, Fatima, jitti min abarran nas, you're coming back from the most generous person, empty-handed. What's going on? So Fatima radiallahu anhu says, kharajtuki min indiki lid-dunya wa raja'tuki bil-akhirah. So I left you with the intention to get some dunya, some worldly possessions. I've returned back to you with the akhirah. And then Fatima narrates what the whole story. So Ali radiallahu anhu being Ali, he says, khayra ayyamuki ya Fatima. This is the best day of our life. It's the best day of our life. This is what happens when you have a husband and wife who are both righteous. Then you get children like Hassan and Hussein. Then you get this amazing family. So let's go ahead. And this is, in one narration, Umm Ayman narrates this narration. Her name is Asma bint Umays. She narrates that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was marrying Fatima radiallahu anhu to Ali, he called them and he made dua for them. And he said, call me Fatima. And Fatima shows up. She's so shy. She's so modest. And he prays on her and he sprinkles water. He prays into the water and he sprinkles water, blessed water, of his water, upon Fatima. Then Ali, and then from far away he saw some like, it's in the dark, all this is happening in the dark. From far away he saw like the shadow, and he's like, who's that? And then Asma, who's narrating the story, she says, Asma bint Umays. She's like, Asma. So the Prophet's like, which Asma? Asma bint Umays? She's like, na'am. She says, I wanted to come to dress up Fatima. Like, she was that woman that, you know women when their friends are getting married, or like there's some khala in the community, like they had the whole dress up and the whole gown and the whole preparing of zufaf. It's like this whole, the pedicure, medicare, the whole like all the preparation for a woman before she basically she was doing the whole salon prep for Fatima. He's like, I'm preparing Fatima for her moment when she's marrying Ali. He's like, okay. Then she says, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me too, right? And the Prophet is like, yeah, you too. And the Prophet makes dua for Asma bint Umays. Umm Ayman is the only woman. Actually, the only person that I'm talking about who's asking the Prophet for dua, who saw the Prophet ﷺ from birth to death. The only person that actually saw the Prophet ﷺ from birth to death. Nobody could document this, that I was there at the Prophet's life when he was born. By then, everybody had passed away that was there at the Prophet's birth. And Abbas was there, of course, and other people were there, but who was there? When Amina gave birth to Rasulullah, Umm Ayman was a servant of Amina. She was a servant of Amina, and she was around the Prophet all her life. Umm Ayman is the one that was with the Prophet when Amina died on the route from Medina to Mecca and Abwa. Umm Ayman was the one bringing the 6-year-old back to Mecca. So Umm Ayman is very close, but she respects the Prophet extremely because, although she may be older in age, but she has this extreme respect for Rasulullah. Let's go to Badr. So Badr is a moment where the Prophet ﷺ, he gave the flag of Badr to Ali radiallahu anhu. And he used Ali radiallahu anhu as one of the leads in the battle of Badr. And extremely, extremely vital in this battle. And it says that Ali radiallahu anhu narrates this whole narration. It's a long story, but I'm going to make it very quick. So the Prophet ﷺ, we know more a little bit about it, how few people came. A guy named Qurs bin Jabir al-Fahri, he came to Medina, he robbed the Muslims' animals and their cattle, and the Prophet ﷺ became alerted, and the Prophet ﷺ went out after him. He had left, and the Prophet ﷺ was like, hey, we've just been ambushed by this non-Muslim community member. Now we have to also, intercept anyone that's moving through to Sham. That's when the Prophet ﷺ tried to intercept Abu Sufyan on the way to Sham. On the way back, the Badr started. Right? Abu Sufyan was like, okay, now we have our caravan going to be targeted by the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Abu Sufyan, in the meantime, gets 1,000 people to attack Medina. So, it's a funny story. It says that the Prophet ﷺ came out for the battle of Medina, and there were two people. While they were camping the night before the battle of Badr, the eve of Badr, there were these two people that they were walking around and they were scouting the Muslim army. Rajulun min Quraysh, a man from Quraysh, wa mawla li Uqba bin Abi Mu'ith. And there's one man who was a servant or a worker that worked for Uqba bin Abi Mu'ith. So the Quraysh guy, he ran away. The Qurayshi name is not public. But the guy who was the ex-slave of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayth, the Muslims captured him. And Ali radiallahu anhu takes him and he starts to sing, "Kam qawm," this is the eve of Badr. Like, how many are they? Like, how many mushrikeen are they? Because you're coming from their side. Maybe they came to, you know, water their animals at the well of Badr. But the Sahaba caught this person. So Ali is narrating this narration. He says, "Hum wallahi kabirun adad." Like, there are so many. So this man, on behalf of the mushrik, his name is Mawla. He's a servant of Ali. Ali is asking this non-Muslim who's been captured by the Muslim, like, who is, like, how many are the non-Muslims? And he's like, "Oh, there are so many." He's not giving a number. He's like, "Kabir, kathirul adad." He says, "Shadidun ba'asum," and they're extremely equipped. Like, the Prophet ﷺ had 313 with 70 camels. There were 700. There were 1,000 with 700, 600 horses and camels, fully equipped, and they had extra. You know, so the Prophet, anytime he said there were a lot, Ali hit him. So tell me the truth. Tell me the number. And he's like, "I'm telling you the number." Then he's like, "I don't know exactly." Then when he would say the truth, Ali would hit him. And when he would lie, Ali would say, "Okay, fine." He would not hit him. So they brought him to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ is like, when he's telling you the truth, you get angry at him. When he lies to you, you let him go. It's like, come on, make your mind. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Okay, let me ask you. Kam yanharuna min al-jazr?" How many animals, how many camels do they sacrifice every day to eat? They're eating. So how many camels do they sacrifice every day to eat their meat, food, feast? So the guy goes, "Ashran kulla yawm." They sacrifice 10 camels every single day. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Qawm alfun." He says, there are 1,000 people. The Prophet was smart. The Prophet said, there are 1,000 people. He said, usually, one animal is enough for 100. So if they're sacrificing 10, so the Prophet ﷺ estimated from amount of animal and food they're consuming, how many there are, and the Prophet was accurate, 1,000. You understand? He said, "Qum alfun," there are 1,000. So this is Ali radiallahu anhu, his early participation. Ali radiallahu anhu narrates that the night before Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ was making dua, and Ali radiallahu was standing, and he said in his dua, Ali narrating the narration, he said, "Allahumma intuhlak hadhi al-isaba lam tu'bad." Oh Allah, this group that I have in front of me, if you destroy them, there will be no one to worship you. There will be no one to worship you. And that's when Ali radiallahu anhu, of course, he was completely involved in defending the Prophet ﷺ in the battle of Badr. Let's go ahead. We will skip few moments, but there's two parts of Khaybar and Khandaq. In Khandaq, this guy named Amr bin Wudda. I'm not going to talk about Uhud. Uhud is a long story. Well, if you come to Sirah, we'll talk about that. In Khandaq was a very difficult battle. There were 20,000 non-Muslims to 30,000 that had joined forces against the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims. So the Muslims didn't know what to do, because before the Muslims were fighting one army, which was Quraysh. Khandaq is called the Battle of Ahzab, where all the armies, all the allies got together and to come to destroy the Prophet ﷺ. All of them. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't know what to do, so what he did was, he asked the Sahaba, "What should we do?" And Salman al-Farsi suggested to build a trench. And in this battle, the Prophet ﷺ was 1,500. Not much. They didn't know what to do, and they were hungry, it was cold, and they basically dug a trench approximately 6 feet plus deep, and 6 feet to 8 feet wide. In some places, 12 feet wide, you know, on different measurements. So they could not come over this path. So Medina is covered on one side by mountains, the other side is plain land. So the plain land was all dug of the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So in this battle, in this moment, there was a small place. There was one non-Muslim who tried to run his horse to jump the trench. What happened with this guy? He jumped the trench. As he hit the edge of the trench, his horse fell back. He hit the back of the wall, snapped his neck, and he died. Basically, nobody could really. All they could do is throw arrows or shoot arrows at each other. It was like a sniping contest, right? And here and there were some altercations with some people crossing somehow. There's one by the name of Amr bin Wudda. Amr bin Wudda was considered to be the best fighter that came amongst the Quraysh, the greatest fighter. And he jumps over. Somehow this person was, he was one of the greatest warriors of the non-Muslim community. He jumps over the trench, he's on the side of the Muslims, and he says, "Min yubarizuni." And anytime, Ali radiallahu anhu says, a very interesting narration that I'm going to come back to this. He asks, in one of his speeches, he says, who is the most, he says to the Sahaba in his speech, he says, who do you think is the strongest of the Sahaba? Who do you think is the strongest of Sahaba, right? And his students are like, you, of course, you're like, no, students, like, you're the best, you know? And Ali radiallahu anhu says, yeah, you know, like I would say the same thing, like, who's the strongest? Khalid bin Walid, Umar bin Khattab, Abu Ubaidah, Ali, like, it would be debated. Who is the strongest, like physical strength? So Ali radiallahu anhu says, Wallahi ma barazani ahadun illa barastu. You know what? Let me make it very clear. Never did anyone ever challenge me to a fight. I fought them and I won. Subhanallah. But let me tell you the strongest amongst the Sahaba. And he said that moment is Abu Bakr. And then he talked about the time when there was no one to defend the Prophet ﷺ. Only Abu Bakr stood beside him and he stood next to the Prophet. And no one had that strength. No one had that courage in early Islam. And we know that how Abu Bakr carried the Prophet on his shoulders, on his back, on top of the mountain, to the mountain Thawr. Nevertheless, Amr bin Wudda comes and says, "Man yubarizuni," and nobody stands up. Everyone's like ducking. He says, "Anyone, come on, who's going to challenge me?" And he's speaking to Abu Bakr, he's speaking to Umar, he's speaking to the Sahaba. Who? Nobody gets up. So Ali radiallahu says, "Ana, Ya Rasulullah, please." The Prophet says to Ali, listen to this, "Ijlis fa innahu Amr." Sit down. This man is Amr, the greatest fighter in Arabia. Are you serious? You're young compared to this guy. Right? Ali wouldn't be over the age of 25, 26 at this time. This is experienced, greatest warrior. You know? You got all the belts of winning any champion, any fight. You know? Heavyweight, lightweight, middleweight. You know? I don't know what other names they got for UFC belts nowadays. You know? The Prophet, then he goes again, "Man yubarizuni," who's going to fight me? Nobody says a word, everyone ducks. Huh? He's covered with armor. Amr bin Wudda is fully covered from head to toe and armor. Nobody can like shoot something at him. Like Sara is like the master plan of war. She said, "Just shoot an arrow, khalas, we're done." No, it doesn't happen like that. There's some laws of fighting, right? There's an honor. So then, Prophet ﷺ says to Ali, "Sit down." He's Amr. Second time. The third time, Amr bin Wudda goes, "Ayn al-jannah allati taz'amuna annahu man qutila dakhalaha." Like, hey, why are you guys so scared? Aren't you guys the ones that claim that whoever dies goes to this paradise? Aren't you guys excited about it? Come on, fight me. Look at that. That's like the powerful statement, psychologically torturing these guys, demeaning the Prophet's companions. And Ali radiallahu anhu says, "Ya, please, ana ya Rasulullah, please let me fight." And the Prophet says a third time, "Ijlis fa innahu Amr," sit down, this is Amr. So Ali radiallahu anhu says, "Walau kana Amran ya Rasulullah," even if it's Amr, I don't care. What, come on, really? The Prophet allowed him to fight. Right? And the Prophet, when he lets him go, he says to Amr, "La ta'jalanna," he says up home, "La ta'jalanna faqad ataka mujibu sawtika ghayra ajizi bi niyatin wasidku manja kulla fa'izi inni uridu an uqima alayka na'ihatan janaiz min darbatin najla yabqa dhikruha indal hazais." He says, "Let's make it very clear, my friend, the answer to your voice has arrived. La ta'jalanna, don't be hasty. Faqad ataka mujibu sawtik ghayra ajiz, and the one that's standing in front of you is fully capable. بِنِيَّةٍ وَالصِّدْقُ مَنْجَى. And anyone that's sincere tonight is going to win. I'm going to beat you so bad." Right? This is what he says. "مِنْ ضَرَبَةٍ نَجْلَى." I'm going to beat you so bad that this fight, the story of this will be in the list of the greatest warriors and the greatest defeat that was done in history. This will be it's going to remain. Parents are going to tell their children that this was a fight to remember. Right? It's going to be on that. It's going to be in those storybooks. So be prepared. So Amr bin Wudda goes, He hears this, he gets angry. So it says in the narration, he jumps off, he says, كَأَنَّهُ شُعْلَةٌ مِّن نَارٍ. The narration goes, it was like a fireball. He jumped off the horse, got on the ground. That landing, it brought this dirt into the air. Like just the body, his stature was so big. He was so he was so powerful. He landed on the ground, this dust jumps in the air, and all the hair is clashing of swords. Before the dust settles, Ali is victorious and this man is down the ground. And everyone says, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. This is not once. Another place in Khaybar, this happened. In Khaybar, the greatest fighter from Khaybar was Murahab. And Murahab comes out, no one's ready to fight this guy. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he comes to the Sahaba, he says, قَدْ عَلِمَتْ خَيْبَرَ أَنِّي مُرَحَّبٌ شَاكِ السِّلَاءِ بَطَلَ الْمُجَرَّبُ أَوْ فِيهِمْ. He's like, whole Khaybar knows who I am. This is me. أنا مُرَحَّب. I'll kill anybody. So Ali radiallahu anhu comes out, and he says another poem to him. He says, أَنَا الَّذِي سَمَّتْنِي أُمِّي حَيْدَرًا كَلَيْثِ غَابَاتِ الْكَرِيهَ الْمَنْدَرًا أَوْ فِيهِمْ الصَّاعِ سَيْدَ الْكَلِيدَ الْصَنْدَرًا. He said, listen, مُرَحَّب, I am that person whose mother, when I was born, named me Haydar. What does Haydar mean? A lion. كَلَيْثِ غَابَاتِ كَيْلِيهَ الْمَنْدَرًا. It's like when you are traveling in the forest and you see a hungry lion. That's who I am. That's now, this is the whole narration of this. Murahab was, he was being reminded by Ali, because Murahab saw a dream a while before that he was being killed or devoured by a lion. So Ali, he saw this dream that he woke up one day and he told his wife that, I saw this dream that a lion was devouring me. So Ali knows this dream, right? So he said, I am that lion. Imagine that psychological torture, psychological pain this guy's getting. Ali beats the lights out of this guy. And Uhud, the same thing. Fatih Makkah, Ali. Everywhere you go, is the Prophet ﷺ is giving this respect to Ali. And but in Khaybar, there was a moment that you cannot conclude Ali's discussion without saying this. Khaybar was a tough discussion because Khaybar was against the Jews of Medina. And they were all forts at that time. And they were the Jews of Medina were protected in these massive forts. And the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims could not advance. First day, Abu Bakr was given the flag, the leader. The Muslims could not do anything. The next day, Umar. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, on the second night, he says, لَعُطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ. Listen guys, tomorrow I'm going to give this flag to someone that loves Allah and His Rasul, and Allah and His Rasul love him in return. So Umar radiallahu anhu was like, who is this guy? Everyone's like, what? Okay, everyone says we love the Prophet and we love Allah. But imagine the Prophet ﷺ saying clearly that Allah loves this person in return. So this is a huge badge of honor. All of us claim, نَحْنُ نُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ. The Sahaba, we all know the Sahaba love the Prophet ﷺ. Here, Ali, someone is being, Prophet ﷺ saying that I'm going to give this to someone that Allah surely loves. And the Prophet loves him. This is, the Sahaba spent the night praying that the day will come and they will be called. Umar radiallahu anhu says, مَا أُحِبُّ الْأَمَارَةَ يَوْمًا قَتُّ. I never wanted leadership. I never wanted to be in command of anything in life except that day, because that was a testimony that Allah loves me. So we all came at Fajr Salah hoping that we're going to be called out, and we all have our necks arched hoping to get our attention to the Prophet, getting our attention. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in the pitch dark Fajr, after Fajr Salah, he says, Aina Ali bin Abi Talib. He says, where's Ali? And Ali was in the back and he was injured. He had an eye, he had a sickness in his eye at that time. He couldn't even see properly. He says, Aina Ali bin Abi Talib. He says, give him, he calls him and he gives him the flag. And he says, Ali, Allah will open the doors of this fort and give fatah on your hands. Go ahead. And indeed, he literally says in the narration, one of the doors of the fortress was so big that the Sahaba say that we saw Ali holding it in his hand. And when later on after the battle we tried to pick it up, it was seven of us. And one narration, 14 of us. Ali was using that as a shield, and one hand he was fighting. Ali had a sword that would come up with two edges. Dhul Fiqar His sword's name was Zulfiqar. It's in the museum still today. You know, and he was just that person that Prophet ﷺ loved. The Prophet ﷺ, he in one battle, in Tabuk, he went out and he didn't take Ali. He just told Ali stay back. And Ali was hurt. He said, "What? Why are you leaving me back? Everyone's going. I wanna go." The Prophet ﷺ said to Ali, "Anta bi manzilati Harun. You're like Harun, where Musa goes to get the alwah, the plates, and he leaves Harun back with Bani Israel. So even though that you're not going with me, you're playing another role. So I'm going to keep you back." So Ali radiallahu anhu, in one last narration to conclude who Ali was Ali was killed in Iraq by a guy named Ibn Muljim. And while he was getting people up for Fajr Salah, he was stabbed. After Ali died, we know that Ali radiallahu anhu had a conflict with Muawiyah, right? And the conflict is a very long conflict, but I want to conclude with one beautiful narration. One day, a man who was a student to Ali, his name was Dharar ibn Dhamura al-Kanani. He was a student to Ali, loyal student. This is post Ali's demise. He visits Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, who was the governor, the leader at that time in Sham, in Syria. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says, when he sees Dhirar come in, he's known to be Ali's famous student. He says, "Sifli Aliyan, tell me about Ali. Tell me who Ali." Like all you guys are listening about Ali, I want you to hear this description of Ali from his favorite student. And then we'll conclude, call it a night. So his student says, "Awala tu'fini, ya Amir al-Mu'minin, please excuse me, I don't want to describe. I just can't do it, it's too much for me. It's too much pain thinking about it." He said, "Na'ufiq, I'm not going to let you go. I want you to describe, tell me about Ali." So he said, "Am izla budda, if you're not giving me a choice," and then he starts. He says, "Fa'innahu ba'idul mada, shadidul quwa, yaqulu faslan wa yahkumu adlan, yatafajjaru al-ilmu min jawanibihi wa tantiqul hikmatu min nawahihi, yastawhishu min al-dunya wa zahratiha wa yastanisu bil-layli wa zulmati, kana wallahi ghazil al-abra, tawilul fikra. يقلب كفه ويخاطب نفسه يعجبه من اللباس ما قصر ومن الطعام ما جشب كان والله كأحدنا يدنينا إذا أتيناه ويجيبنا إذا سألناه وكان مع تقربه إلينا وقربه منا لا نكلب هيبة له فإن تبسم فعن مثل اللؤلؤ المضموم." This is the first half. He says كان والله بعيد المدى. He's beyond his Ali's vision was beyond our imagination. He had this far sight. Shadid al-Quwa, he was very alert. Shadid al-Quwa means his sensory was very sharp. He would sense things, he would see people, he would recognize things. Like, you know, some people who have the ability just, they're so alert. That was Ali. Shadid al-Quwa. Yaqulu faslan, he would speak very eloquently. Yahkumu adlan, he would provide justice. Yatafajjaru al-ilmu min jawanibihi. يَتَفَجُّ الْعِلْمُ مِنْ جَوَانِبِهِ. When he would speak, it was knowledge literally gushing from his mouth. وَتَنْطِقُ الْحِكْمَةُ مِنْ نَوَاحِهِ. And every other edge of his discussion was just nothing but wisdom. يَسْتَوْحِشُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَزَهْرَتِهَا. He wasn't really impressed by the beauty of this dunya. He wasn't fully attracted. Like nothing of the glitter of, none of the glitter of the dunya got his attention. You know how like someone has a new watch, new phone, new car, like he was above that. You know how we are, like everything, you see someone's new Apple Watch or Apple phone, you see someone's new car, like, oh wow. He was just so, not like, he didn't like enjoy, he didn't say, it's not like he didn't enjoy it, but he just like, he was so above that. يَسْتَوْحِشُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَزَهْرَتِهَا وَيَسْتَأْنِسُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَظُلْمَتِهِ. And he looked, he would look forward to the night. Like, he couldn't wait till the night would come so he could pray tahajjud, subhanAllah. Is there anyone here that, you know how we wait for the night to chill with our friends? He would wait till the night so he can chill with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could spend the night praying to Allah. Because, you know, when people have problems, the nighttime is the best to have them solved. Allah loves it when you ask Him at night. يَسْتَأْنِسُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَظُلْمَتِي. And then He says, كَانَ وَاللَّهِ غَزِيرَ الْعَبْرَى. He was a person who always cried. طَوِيلُ الْفِكْرَى. He was a person with constant, you know, he was immersed by this constant thought. How can I help the Islam? How can Islam prosper? And then I remember seeing يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّهُ وَيْخَاتِبُ نَفْسَهُ. A lot of times I would see Ali, he would talk to himself. He would say, what's wrong? Like he would, like literally, he would address himself and reprimand himself. يُخَاتِبُ نَفْسَهُ. And then he says, يُعْجِبُ مِنَ الْقِبَاسِ مَا قَصُرَ. He was, the best thing he liked was simple clothing. You give him simple clothing, he liked it. وَمِنَ الطَّعَامِ مَا جَشِبَ. He liked simple food. كَانَ وَاللَّهِ كَأَحْدِنَا يُدْنِينَ إِذَا أَتَيْنَا وَيُجِيبُنَا إِذَا سَأَلْنَا. He was like one of us. Though he was such a powerful, important person, when we sat with him, we always felt like we were part of him. And when we asked him a question, he always answered. وَيُجِيبُنَا إِذَا وَكَانَ مَعَ تُقَرُّبِ إِلَيْنَا وَقُرْبِهِ مِنَّا لَا نُكَلِّمُ هَيْبَةَ اللَّهِ. The students are saying of Ali, he says, though we were very close to him, we felt that he was like our brother, but we would not speak in his presence because of his awe and his demeanor. He was so powerful, his presence. كانت أعتقد كل من لا نكلمه يتملل. فإن تبسم, when he smiled, it was like pearls falling out of his mouth. It was so bright. And then he says, وأشهد بالله, I swear by Allah, لقد رأيت في بعض مواقفي. This person says, and I'll tell you that I've seen in my own eyes. He says, وقد أرخى الليل سدوله وغارت نجومه. When the night would go dark, and the blinds of the day would drop and it would become dark. I used to see him يميل في محرابه. He would go into his prayer area. قابضا على لحيته. He would grab his beard. يتململ تململ السليم. And he would cry like a person who is bitten, who has been bit by a venomous creature. Salim is someone that's been stung. يتململ تململ السليم. He would just shiver. ويبكي بكاء الحزين. And he would cry like a person who's lost a family member. And then what he would say, and then he says, وَكَأَنِّي أَسْمَعُ الْآنْ يَقُولُ. And I can, he's like, as if I can vision him right now. The student saying this about Ali, speaking to Muawiyah, as if I can vision him and see him right now. He's going, and he's crying by saying, يَا رَبَّنَا يَا رَبَّنَا. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord. And he would cry to Allah in tahajjud. And then he will say this to the dunya. He said this to dunya. He said, وَيُقُولُ لِلْدُّنْيَا إِلَيِّ تَشَوَّفْتِ إِلَيِّ تَغَرَّرْتِ. Oh dunya, you've come to tempt me. Like you speak to dunya, like really, you're trying to tempt me? You're trying to tempt Ali, who was in Badr and Uhud? You're trying to tempt me? And one narration goes, إِلَيِّ تَزَيَّنْتِ. You're trying to beautify yourself to attract me. And then he would say to dunya, غُرِّ غَيْرِ. When I say dunya, all the luxury and all the temptations, he's saying, غُرِّ غَيْرِ. Please don't come. Go deceive someone else. You're not going to find me to fall for you. Then he would say, قَدْ بَدَتُكِ ثَلَاثَ. I give you three divorce. I don't want you in my area. Don't come in my vicinity. And then he would say, why? He says, فَمَجْلُسُكِ حَقِيرٌ وَخَطْرُكِ يَسِيرٌ. He says, dunya, this is the element of dunya. Doesn't matter how friendly your friends are, and the dunya is, it's a very insignificant setting. It's just show. It has no meaning. It doesn't have any fulfillment. And he says, وَوَحْشَةِ الطَّرِيقِ. This dunya is full of loneliness. The more you go into dunya, the more lonely you become. You realize that the people you're talking to are people who also love the same world. And they're not meaningful people. And he says, مِنْ قِلَّةِ الزَّادِ وَبُعْدِ السَّفَرِ. He says, in my journey is for Jannah. And I don't have enough good deeds. And the travel is very long. مِنْ قِلَّةِ الزَّادِ. I don't have enough and the journey is very long. And this whole description of Ali was given by the student of Dharar, by Dharar ibn Dhamra. Muawiyah, it says in the narration, فَوَكَفَ الدُّمُوعُ مُعَاوِيَ عَلَى لِحْيَتِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُهَا وَقَدْ it says that his tears dripped, Muawiyah's tears dripped, and it literally drenched his beard. فَجَعَلَ يَنْشِفُهَا بِكُمِّ. And he started to like dry his face by his sleeves, just the amount of tears that were just dripping. Muawiyah is just crying. And the people in Muawiyah's gathering, it says in the narration, وَقَدْ اخْتَنَقَ الْقَوْمُ بِالْبُكَاءِ. And everyone is sobbing. They're literally crying when Dharar ibn Dhamra is describing Ali radiallahu anhu. And then Muawiyah radiallahu says, هَكَذَا كَانَ أَبَا الْحَسَنِ. Allahu Akbar. He said, you have described him exactly, you have described him precisely. That was Ali. You can't get better than that. That was Ali. And then he asked his student a very, very sensitive question. He said to him, كَيْفَ وَجْدُكَ يَا ذِرَارَ. Can you describe your pain at the loss of Ali? Can you describe your agony, your pain? You lost your teacher. You know, just for the record, students of knowledge, who are real students of knowledge, their teachers are like parents to them. Matter of fact, parents are their physical, they give them care for their physical well-being and education. Scholars who are pious are the nutrition for their spirituality. And sometimes you'll find students who are more connected to the teachers than they are to their own parents. Because their students find that my parents haven't done enough for me, where you'll find a teacher doing more for them. I have some teachers that I have in my life. Of course, my parents are the best, but I would walk the world twice for them. Because they've done so much for me. And sincerely, they've done so much for me. So I can imagine Ali and his student, what would be the relationship? He says, my pain has been وَجْدُ مَنْ ذُبِحَ وَاحِدُهَا فِي حِجْرِهَا. لا إله إلا الله. لا ترقع دمعتها ولا يسكن حزنها. He says, my pain is equal to the pain of a mother who only has one child, and that child is killed in her lap. A mother who only has one child, and the child is butchered in her lap. The agony and pain that mother will have is the exact pain that I have today. Then he says, whose tears, لا ترقع, he says, whose eyes have not dried yet. These eyes will never dry in crying for Ali. And the heart's pain will never come to rest. And the heart's pain will never come to rest. This was Ali radiallahu anhu. And I wish we had more time with Ali. But one of the two things that I never did tonight, one of it is Ali's wisdom. Ali's wisdom. The things he said are money. SubhanAllah. And number two is Ali's intellect. How quick he was in his strategic planning and his intellect and his brain. And we will have to do this some other time. But this was Ali radiallahu anhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate his status in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him, his family, the highest position in Jannah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed the hand of Ali and he said to Ali, أَمَا تَرْضَ أَن يَكُونَ مَنْزِلُ مَقَابِلِ مَنْزِلِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Ali, should I not tell you that your house will be in front of my house in Jannah? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Should I not tell you that your house will be in front of my house in Jannah? But guess what? Ali died shaheed. Guess what? Uthman died shaheed. Guess what? Umar died shaheed. These are people who are guaranteed paradise, but they're still martyred for the cause of God. What is our message from here? Is that these are the people to look up to. These are the people whose lives we should read. These are the people that the closer we know, more we know about them, the better we can follow their sunnah and their practice, their lifestyle, and the closer we are to Allah. These are the closest people to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ came and he grabbed Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein, and he said, Allah, I love them all, and whoever loves them, I want you. And whoever loves them, I want you to love them. Oh Allah, these are my family, you protect them. He did this constantly. And Hassan, Hussein, Ali's and Fatima's children, Prophet loved them. So this was I cannot think of a house more noble than the house of Ali. Let's try it again. A house where his grandfather is Abdul Muttalib, where his father is Abu Talib, his mother is Fatima bin Asad, who is a companion, who is married to the greatest woman in the world, one of the greatest women in the world, Fatima, whose wife is one of the greatest women in the world, whose cousin is the greatest human in the world, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then his children are the leaders of the women of Jannah, of the men of Jannah, the boys of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Fatima, أنت سيد نساء أهل الجنة. Oh Fatima, you are the queen of the women of Jannah, the wife of Ali. And he said to the children of Ali, Sayyida Shabab Ahl Jannah, they are the leaders of all the youth of Jannah. La ilaha illallah. Can you get a better house than this? And that was Ali radiallahu anhu. Pious person, righteous man, gave his life till the last moment. And we hope that Allah resurrect us with this. Imam Shafi says, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. I love the righteous. I don't consider myself to be righteous. لَعَلِّي أَنَالَ أَنْ أَنَالَ بِهِمْ شَفَاعَ. I just hope that because of my love for them, they will intercede for me. وَأَكْرَهُ مَنْ تِجَارَةُ الْمَعَاصِ وَلَكُنَّ سَوَانْ فِي الْبَضَاعِ. I hate wrong. I hate sins. Even though I might be involved, I dislike it. But hopefully intercession of the righteous will help me make my way through to paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us paradise. Forgive our sins. Jazakallah khair for your time.